Lots going on. You know, it's really important that we get a revelation of what is taking place in the spirit realm. It's what the book of Acts is about. And we're this month we're talking about Acts, the book of miracles. There's a little ring in this. Acts, the book of miracles for us today. There are a lot of people who subscribe to the conclusion that the book of Acts and the miracles of the Holy Spirit ended when the apostle age. They say we are dispensationalists. God works in different ways in different times. But they have a verse of scripture or two to try to justify that. Both of them are in error the way they're doing it. But they said, where there is tongues, they shall cease. Where there is knowledge, it shall also fail. And they say, so tongues have ceased, because we have the full revelation of the Word of God. Well, if that's the case, then knowledge has also passed away. And now we have more knowledge in the world right now than we've ever had before, whether it's real or artificial. Okay? So it's true. How can you believe that God, who went to all this trouble, all this detail, to get the Holy Spirit into this world, to get us to become new wineskins on the inside, to be able to contain God and breathe into us a new creation, just to fold up the sidewalks in less than 100 years if it's not for the... I mean, he didn't give us the record of the Holy Spirit just to tell us what we could have had if we lived at a certain period of time. No, it gets better and better and better. The path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter until the full day, until the noonday sun. Amen? The book of Acts is more alive than it ever has been, because there's no end to it, and it is continuing to be written by you and you and you and you and you and me and everybody who believes. The book of Acts is a continuing thing, and it is our roadmap to know, not just to know about, but to know the Holy Spirit and to set our expectations of our relationship with Him. That should have been a real thunderous amen there. Amen. It's a roadmap. And it really helps. The Bible is a code book. It really is a code book. And unless you get the Spirit that wrote the code, you'll never get the code. The revelation knowledge of God cannot be hacked. It cannot be, it is unlocked by God Himself. And as you come to God with an honest and open heart and receive His Holy Spirit, He will give you the Holy Spirit. Amen. And with the Holy Spirit comes a whole bunch of stuff. Those who were filled with the Spirit. Hello? Okay. Those who were filled with, did that go away for a minute? Filled with the Holy Spirit, they operated well beyond the ability of man. They weren't limited. So we know that the Holy Spirit doesn't depend on man to work. It depends on man's obedience and his faith and so forth, because he won't work with us against our will. We've got to set our hearts in agreement with him. That's true. But when we do, it's not our ability, it's his. You got it? It's God's ability. We are the glove. He is the hand. Not even Jesus worked alone. He never wanted us to work solo. If he gives us something to do, an assignment, a command, whatever it is, when he gives us that, it comes with the power to fulfill it. It comes with the power to produce what it commands. Are you guys here today? It's I mean, I'm not saying you look like that, but whoa, you look like that sometimes. In spirit, it's like, oh, you know, this isn't the kind of where you march in at 10 o'clock and march out at 11 o'clock. The prisoners come in at 10, they leave at 11. Church of the Chosen Frozen, where none are called and everyone's frozen. The organist doesn't know his right hand from the left, and everything is a riddle. There's no answers, really. There's just a riddle. And we come to hear a nice little riddle today, and we're going to do you want to hear riddles? I don't have any. I have parables. Let me start off with this, because we need to line up our thinking, our expectations with God's. What he set is as his word, his expectations for the Holy Spirit to operate, we need to set our heart there. I want to give you a little parable now that compares physical things to spiritual things. How many of you know who Chuck Yeager was? Test pilot. Amazing. He was the first person to ever break the sound barrier. This is something I heard from Mark Hankins a while back. In fact, it's in one of his books. But Chuck Yeager, the first man to break the sound barrier, it's a phenomenal story, and I always considered him like to be an American hero. He was just one of America's, he was fearless. He talked about the process involved in breaking the sound barrier. Nobody had ever done it before. And it was a mystery. They didn't know what was going to happen to a pilot who broke the sound barrier, if he'd survive it. In fact, some people believed, these are engineers, believed he could be disintegrated once he passed it. They had no idea about that. It was an unknown. In fact, in the book, they called it an ugh-known. Because it was just like, ugh. And there were, whenever there's questions, what there is an open-ended something. And you know how the devil fills in the details? With fear, apprehension, laziness. Don't touch that. You know, a turn away. He's against everything that we do. Everything. In fact, they thought he could, a pilot could disintegrate. By breaking the sound barrier. So Chuck Yeager, they put him in a what they called an X-1 rocket plane. They attached it to a big jet, and that took off, got up to 20, 30,000 feet or something like that, and then they released it and went up, because the sound barrier is about 750 miles an hour. It's a little more than that. 750 miles an hour, and they'd get up to 600 miles an hour, 650 and so forth, and the thing would start to shake like this violently. So he had to back off, come down, land, and give them the report of what happened, look at the instruments and everything, and the record, and they would make adjustments. They'd do it again. Then they'd make adjustments, do it again, make adjustments, and do it until they figured this is it. This is, we really feel we got it, and so let's give it everything we got this time. So Chuck Yeager gets in the X-1, goes up, and is... takes off, and he broke the sound barrier, and they heard something that they were not expecting to hear. They knew there was going to be a sound, but this concussive, explosive sound of the sound barrier that was broken shocked them. They had no idea it was going to be this powerful, and it was over the Mojave Desert in California. And they thought he died. But he comes out, lands the plane and everything, and the report is, they said, "What was it like?" You know what he said? He said, "Like sticking your finger through jelly. It was easy. It's like sitting on the back porch drinking ice cold lemonade. It was just really easy. Just did it and boom, came back and landed." And that's when they begin to realize that their barrier was not in the air. Their barrier was a lack of understanding of supersonic flight. Their barrier was a lack of understanding. Nothing had been revealed. Nobody had ever done this before. There was no history. There was nothing to prove or disprove it. And it wasn't too long after that. It was like a few months after that they actually broke twice the speed of sound. And this laid the foundation for NASA and the astronauts and everything. I think the record is like 25,000 miles an hour that Apollo 10 set in 1969 when they were returning to, they were going, that's fast, man. I mean, that is fast. Fast. I mean, that is. Praise God. And so what happened was in this experiment, but here's the thing, the adjustments they had to make all this time, that's the important part of the story, because they wouldn't know what adjustments to make unless they stepped out and started experimenting and doing these things. It's the same with us. We don't know what kind of things are going on inside of us that the Holy Spirit can't really reveal to us until we step out, and then we know, oh, I've got to change this. I've got to adapt to this. I've got to change my thinking, my expectations in this way. I've got to be more in tune. This takes training. It takes mind renewal. It takes, because that's where your transformation comes. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Praise God. So they began to realize that that was their barrier, was the lack of knowledge. So that they took that information and started going in other directions, in aerospace and everything else. It was just a wonderful thing. But you see, what they were doing is they were pressing in. They were pressing in. Paul said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press. Just because you fail once, just because people said you can't do it, other people and their opinions about you have nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with them. It has nothing to do with you. Whether they accept you or reject you, it has nothing to do with you. God has called you to be who He's called you to be. If you save one person, if you get one person to the Lord in your lifetime, you've cloned yourself. You have done a really good work. If you have done 10 or 15 or 20, and then their opinions of you don't even matter, because we go on from there. You have nothing that can stop you from being you and the you that God created you to be. If there are barriers, see, your barrier might be that you just need to pray the Ephesians 1 prayer and for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of the resurrected Christ and the power that it took to raise Christ from the dead. Because that's what happened in you. When you were recreated on the inside, the same thing. And it says, the eyes of your understanding. So you can see what Paul saw by praying that prayer. In the life, in the death, and the burial, and resurrection of Christ, you get to see it. But you also see what he did to the enemies of your soul, to the demonic realm. You just might need a revelation to knock some barriers out of your thinking. To knock the things out of there that you have been believing, and they're the wrong things you've been believing all your life, and they've become strongholds, and they are nothing.
Yes.
They're a lie.
Amen.
But you know, perception is your reality. And if you believe a lie, that's your reality. And it's nothing for God to go, phew. But you've got to go back and make the adjustments and say, Lord, I missed it here. I missed it here. I missed it. You know, even Job did that. He said, I've said the wrong things. I have done the wrong. I've said the wrong things. But I repent. God forgave him that quick. And then he said, go pray for your friends, too, because it was about to come down on them. Who is this that gives counsel without knowledge? When Job heard that, he hit his knees. Do you know when Ananias and Sapphira, when they came and Peter said, did you sell that land for what you say you sold that land for? If he hit his knees right there, it would have been all set. Repentance is a gift. This is some of the best news you could ever have in your life. Is repentance. If he hit his knees and said, you know what? I came off as a big shot. I'm sorry. Forgive me. This is what I sold it for. I was saving some for my kids or whatever it was. And you know what? I believe this, and I've heard Keith Moore say it, and I've heard others say it too, that you will see Ananias and Sapphira in heaven. They were part of the church. They came into that church service, and Peter called them up and said, hey, look, you have the ability to do that and repent from wrong ways of thinking. The power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the power of the Word of God, the power of the Spirit of God, the power of the resurrection, the power of the life of God that's in you. Paul said, I didn't come to you, Corinthians. I didn't come to you spouting off man's wisdom, but I came to you in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Book of Acts. So what do you look for when you open up the book of Acts and read it? What do you look for? I'll tell you what I look for. I look for keys. I look for keys of the kingdom that unlock the revelation that I need to break some of the barriers. These are the gates of hell right here. In your own thinking. That's the gates that Satan has built through wrong thinking, wrong influences, and everything in your life that has shaped your thinking so long. And it doesn't take much. It takes a key of revelation to break that barrier and for you to come out and to be everything that God meant. Because what's stopping you from that is a lie. This is, you press forward. You press forward towards that mark of the excellence of Christ. You press for that, and you press for that, and you press for that. Nobody can stop you but you. There's nobody in your way that matters anyway. So I didn't come to you, but power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. So as pertaining to any real barriers, your barrier might not be the real barrier that's there. What you think has been the barrier of your, let's say, your inadequacies, your past failures, your inability to be like other people. You may think those are barriers, and they're not barriers. You need a revelation of God who is in you, and you know what? The barriers are gone. Like I said at the very beginning of the service today, that if you have a revelation of righteousness, it's impossible for you to be depressed. It's impossible for you to be disappointed. It says, what does it say? It says, those who believe shall not be disappointed. They shall not be. Doesn't it say that? Or am I just... You guys there? Come on. I mean, it's really kind of nice if I'm lit up to have some help here. Have some fellowship on these things. Come on. You know, Van Crouch one time, he said, he had to fill in for Kenneth Hagin. And Kenneth Hagin had this big hotel rented out, and they had different rooms and everything. And so he gets a message, a note from somebody that says, Brother Hagin asked you to fill in for him this morning because he's going to rest because he's doing a healing service later tonight. So it was, everybody came there was there to see Kenneth Hagin. And when he got up, he turned around and he saw the faces of the people who were, they were madder than the faces of the people that he, when he's talked to at a, after a freezing frost at the Detroit Garden Club. And he you know, you get called to speak places. And they were mad. And, but he remembered the scripture, don't look at their faces. And he ripped the place apart. He just really nailed it. God gave it to him. And so, I'm not going to look at your faces. If you don't get involved here. You know, never mind, I'll just... I'm being led to do something today. How many of you remember David when he was first anointed king? Philistines heard about it. And they said, and they came up to where Bethlehem is now. It was called a stronghold. And they came up there to attack when they heard that David was anointed king. And notice, it doesn't say that. In fact, turn there, 2 Samuel chapter 5. I didn't put this on there, Stephen, so forgive me. Verse 17 says, but when the let's read it out of the New King James Version. Second Samuel, right. Second Samuel 5:17. Because here's the strategy. When you read these, you really figure out the strategies of the enemy. You can see what he's doing to give you some light and revelation so you can get back and pray about these things. So 2 Samuel 5:17. Now when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. And David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. And the Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Now, the valley of Rephaim is named that way. It's the valley of the giants. You know, it's always good to know. This speaks to me. David thought he was a giant. You know, Buddy thinks this way, too. He thinks he's as big as any dog. And David saw himself as better than these giants, not because of him, but because of who his God was. And he had some experience in this, didn't he? With a slingshot. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim, or the valley of giants. And David inquired of the Lord and said, shall I go up to the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go, for I'll doubtlessly deliver the Philistines into your hand. Verse 20. So David went to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there, and he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me, like the breakthrough of water, bursting. Like a dam that's bursting. You got to get these images on the inside of you, because this is the expectation that the book of Acts places on you. That God is going to come burst forth. This is where God is come to know by David as the God of the breakthrough. Baal Perazim, it means the God of the breakthrough. Baal was kind of a generic name for God that they gave to Baal, this demonic god, during the time of the judges. But it really means God, Perazim, means God of the breakthrough. So you got to look at this way. If you need a barrier broken in your head, if you need a breakthrough from God and you need revelation and understanding to light up the inner eye of your life so you know where you're going in life, you know what you have, you know what you can do, because you know what your God can do through you. You are the glove, and you can do nothing without his hand. Even Jesus couldn't do anything without him. He said, the words that I speak, they are not mine, but the Father in me. He does the works too. God doesn't call us to do anything alone. We are co-laborers with him. It says in 1 Corinthians 3:9, I think it is, that we are laborers together with him. He doesn't call you to do something and say, go do it. No, he does it through you. He does it with you. He is your partner. He will guide you through it. He will take up what you can't do, and he'll make it good. You just walk, and he'll do it. Just walk, and he'll do it. The God of the breakthrough. Where are we here? New King James. So David went to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water. Therefore, he called the name of the place Baal Perazim, the God of the breakthrough. And they left their images there, and David and his men carried them away. Verse 22, and the Philistines went up again and deploy themselves against in the Valley of Rephaim. Therefore, David inquired again. Every time the devil does something, he expects God or you to do the same thing as you always did. God had a different plan here. Verse 22, the Philistines went up again and deployed themselves in the Valley of Rephaim. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, and he said, "You shall go up, you shall not go up. Circle around them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees." And the Lord said this, "It shall be when you hear the sound of marching at the top of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance quickly, for then the Lord will go out before you and strike the camp of the Philistines." He had to, listen to this, God had already defeated them. They came back for a second blow, and this time they thought they were going to surprise him, and David heard it. The devil can't, you have more revelation than David had. You have the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God. So he said, when you hear the, these are angels, warrior angels marching above the mulberry trees. When you hear the sound of marching, then go out. And we'll, history, they're done. Their toast is burnt. I'm saying that to say this. If you read the book of Acts, look at it from the standpoint of the Spirit. What God is trying to do, what God is saying, what God is saying to do through his church. This is what God wants to do. You know, we're studying the book of Acts, and I'm not even getting into the book of Acts yet. You got time? Yeah. Let me just go into some things here. But that story about Chuck Yeager should inspire you to say, you know what? If anybody does anything wrong, there's probably an outside chance it could have been me that made the mistake and not God. Wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
Okay. That was supposed to be funny. But, you know, now they're traveling up to Mach 10. So if you want to keep the devil in the rearview mirror, just keep pressing. Just keep pressing. Acts chapter 2 says that, talks about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. We went into that. It was a roaring, rushing, mighty wind that filled all the house where they were staying, but it came from heaven. It wasn't an east wind or a west wind. It came from heaven. They heard it come from way up, past the clouds and everything else. And it was like jet engines come. God's dramatic that way. He'd been waiting 4,000 years to get his Holy Spirit back in here. Outpouring at Pentecost. Then Acts chapter 3, the lame man healed at the gate Beautiful. Acts chapter 5, judgment on Ananias and Sapphira. That'll jerk the slack out of a lot of people right there. And the thing is, if you read, I'm not going to go there. It's too long. Acts chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Many were healed by Peter's ministry. Even his shadow falling on people would heal them. You know, we've got to wake up to this. This power is in you. Say, well, I thought it was Spirit-willed. Yeah, it is. And he already gave you the Spirit. If you walk, you will see amazing things. If you do what he says to do, he's not going to heal. He's not going to give you a gift of healing if you're not going to lay hands on the sick. When you are talking to somebody on the phone that you haven't seen in a while, talked to in a while, when you bump into somebody at the store that you haven't seen in a while, you think the Holy Spirit, have you ever felt the bubbling of a prompting coming up? They say they have a problem. This, has it ever occurred to you? Let's pray. Let's experience the power of God. Let act on those promptings, those intuitions that he gives you. And as you act, a scripture will come to mind. As you act, there will be power released from your inner man to theirs.
Yes.
Answers will come. Their mind will be renewed, refreshed again. Acts chapter 5 again. The apostles released from prison by an angel. I don't know if you have felt like you're ever in a prison. But the ministry of angels has already been issued for you. You know, when Elisha and his servant were surrounded by the Syrian army, and the guy came back in, he said, "What are we going to do?" He said, "Don't worry about it. More are with us than with them." Yeah? Really? There are more, right. There's. And he said, "Lord, open his eyes." And he saw a hill filled on the mountains, just filled with chariots of fire, ready to do whatever Elisha said to do. You have the same angelic ministry. Read Hebrews 1. You have that same in it, and they're waiting for you to open your mouth and speak. They're waiting for you to give them an assignment. They have supernatural power that can do a whole lot more than you can do. But you got to give them permission to do it. Healings and deliverances in Samaria. Remember Philip, the evangelist, went to Samaria and cast out demons and miracles, and there was healings. And then Peter and John came and down to get them filled with the Holy Spirit because they heard that they were saved. They need to get them baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw it, he saw something. He said, and he offered Peter money. He says, "I'll give you this. Give me that same thing." Because he was the big shot up until then. And now he sees that there's something better than what he's got, because he was fooling the people. And they weren't. People were actually getting healed and doing things that he'd never seen before. So, yeah, and Peter said, "Your money perish with you. You think that God, this is for sale, the power of God?" And he said, and now, here's a guy who did repent, Simon. He said, "Please forgive me." He said, "Pray for me that won't happen to me." You'll see Simon, the sorcerer, in heaven. Healings and deliverances in Samaria. Philip, supernaturally directed by an angel. The angel told him, an angel appeared and said, go down here to Gaza. So he went down there. He met the Ethiopian eunuch, got him saved, got him down to Ethiopia again, filled, changed, completely changed, to change Ethiopia. God knows what to do and how to do it. Saul's encounter with Christ. When people are praying, the Damascus people were praying. They were united in prayer. It's the only way you can get these hedges around. This is why I'm so thankful for Dave Palke and his ministry of intercession for us, because it's building a hedge round about us. We need that hedge, because Paul ran right into a bunch of warrior angels with their swords out. And the Lord says, hard to kick against these pricker bushes, isn't it, Saul? Yeah. But with that, Jesus took Saul, Satan's number one agent, and put him over here in the kingdom of God. And I'm glad he did. How about you? Saul received his sight. There was a guy named Ananias who was healed of paralysis. After being in bed for 8 years, Peter came and laid hands on him and healed him. He also raised Dorcas from the dead. He also led Peter to the Gentiles to get them the Holy Spirit, get them saved. And then he was thrown in jail, and an angel delivered him again. He was scheduled for execution the next day, and the devil got him out. People were praying. People were prayer. You'll see prayer sown throughout the pages of the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 5, when they prayed and God shook the place, these are the kind of prayers that we need. This is our roadmap, Acts. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit, by the way. Elymas was struck blind by Paul. Remember that? His Greek name was Elymas, but the Jews called him Bar-Jesus. You know what bar means? No, bar, like Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon son of Jonah. This guy was claiming to be the illegitimate son of Jesus. One of those Mary Magdalene theories. You know, it's like, I remember it was like back in 95, I think it was, on the news, they said they found Mary Magdalene's tomb and Jesus was there with her. I don't think so. They said, we have DNA evidence that proves it. This is 1995. You have DNA evidence from back then? I saw this on the news. I said, how absolutely gullible they think we are. The cripple was, remember when Paul said, stand up on your feet? He saw, he perceived that the guy had faith to be saved. I don't know whether it was an expression on his face or he was going like this, but, or if you have a bunch of, how do you know he's crippled? There's a word of knowledge that came to him while he's preaching. He said, stand up, get up, get up on your feet. And he did. Then he went to Philippi, cast a spirit of divination out of a young girl that landed him in jail. Earthquake hit the prison. All the prison doors were open. The jailkeeper himself got saved. And I believe he was the first pastor of the church of Philippi that met in Lydia's house. And they had, that church was born seeing and experiencing supernatural power. But you know what? When you were born again, you experienced the same thing. You had supernatural peace. You had supernatural power recreating your Holy Spirit, your entire spirit. Praise God. Then it says special miracles were wrought by Paul. Why are we ruling anything out of these things nowadays? Why are we ruling things out that we don't think they're unreachable for us? Are you kidding? They've already been given to us. The sons of Sceva. They were exorcists. They said we can cast out devils. Now, then they heard Paul preaching about Jesus, and they saw the results. He was getting, especially this girl of divination or whatever. The sons of Sceva, they said, we're going to try that name of Jesus, man. That works good. But they had no... So they got this guy who was possessed with the demons. We adjure you to come out of him in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. And the guy said, Paul, I know. And Jesus, I know. But who are you? And he beat the snot out of him. And they ran away naked and wounded, it says. You know, you got to have revelation. And this is why Brother Hagin said, pray that Ephesian prayer every day, 3 times a day for 6 months, and the Bible will be a brand new book to you. Your life will be different. Your understanding of God will be different. Your understanding of who you are in Christ, what you can do in Christ, the power of God, the power of faith, the power of the Word of God, the power of the Spirit. The power of God, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is, and that has never changed. It's right there in the back wall. But you shall receive power. Don't look for signs and this and that and the other thing. Don't look for politics and is America coming to it? Don't look for that. Don't look for that. Yeah, get involved in some way. If God leads you that way, do it. Get involved. In fact, it's your responsibility at least to vote. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you that you might be my witnesses. How is that? Witness? Does that mean if you accept Jesus, you can be just like me? That's not witnessing. Witnessing is demonstration of the Spirit and power. Getting a word of knowledge. Getting when you need it. I remember one time I was back here at the pulpit. And the Lord said something to me, and it was for Phil. And he said, tell him I've got this. I didn't tell you this, but Jesus was standing right here. When I came over and I said that to you, Jesus was standing right, and he told me to tell you, I've got this. I've got this. And it was about his daughter, Elise. I had no idea that things had transpired the way they did. And then he said, tell him this, too. She's my daughter, too. Your kids are God's daughter, God's son. But I remember that like it was just yesterday. Eutychus raised from the dead. After he fell out of the window, Paul got winded preaching. You think I preach long? Paul was preaching real long. The guy fell out of the upstairs window and got killed, and Paul raised him from the dead. I mean, he was responsible for that. Then he listened to the angel. Look, angelic visitation. We've got miracles happening. We've got outstanding things happening. You've got Gentiles coming into the church. You've got the world coming together here. You've got God fulfilling his promise that he promised to Abraham, that all the families of the earth will be blessed through your seed, which is Jesus. And it's coming to all the world. It's happening. Then the devil tried to get him with a viper, and that didn't happen. Didn't kill him. And then they saw that, and a lot of people got healed on the island of Malta. Praise God. But there's like 40 bona fide, written, supernatural, divine happening events, miracles, whatever, that cannot be numbered, because when you said Paul, special miracles were wrought at the hands of Paul, we don't know how many miracles that was. But it's numerous miracles that happened in the book of Acts in the 28 chapters of the book, including the preservation of an entire, what do you call them? Passengers on a boat, the prisoners and everything, that was wrecked. And the angel appeared to him, to Paul, and said, do this, and they'll all be saved. And he did that, and they were all saved. That not one soul lost. That's his idea. For your family, for mine. That's why we have the book of Acts, so we can put it to work and get a roadmap going in our life. Miracles are real. Miracles are God's delight. He's not withholding anything from us. If you need a miracle in your life right now, come on up here. Come on up here right now. Stand up, everybody, and just come on up here right now. I feel led to get a miracle happening for you.